How's it going, guys? It's Gian here with Evelyn. And today we want to talk about a topic that we believe is very obscure, yet it's very important. We think it's going to be of a lot of value to you. And the topic is attachment styles. Now, if you're not familiar with them, it's okay. We're going to describe them. We're going to explain our own attachment styles as it relates to romantic relationships, and essentially any relationship, and what to look for and how to improve upon your current attachment style. So, Evelyn, like always, what is an attachment style?
Well, per my definition, an attachment style is something that is developed when we are first babies and we are attaching to another human in the first instance of our life would be our caretaker, our mother or guardian that is taking on that role. So it is the style that we develop in relation to attaching to another human and creating a relationship.
Right, right. So attaching ourselves, our bond, our emotional bond with those primary caretakers, which is typically our mom. Essentially, it is the mom. It's a big task for all the mothers out there. And so we learn a lot in the first, I believe, 18 months of being born, if our needs are met, how they're met, and we begin to shape our attachment styles. So as it relates to, we'll go over actually the attachment styles that we're familiar with. I'll start with my own. So what I believe mine to be, it is called an avoidant attachment style. Now, this means that, and it's crazy because we did a lot of research on this yesterday, and the description fit my life so spot on that it almost seems like it's a psychic telling you. So mine is the avoidant attachment style, which means that I'm at an early age, I was thrusted or placed in situations where I had to assume a lot of responsibility that we can argue is not the responsibility of a child. We're talking about, it could be 8 years old, 9 years old, 12 years old. I do remember having one of my first jobs was bagging groceries at a supermarket and I was 12 years old. So that I do remember, it takes, you know, a responsibility that kind of clashes with your childhood, and it forces you to a degree to be very responsible about many things that maybe most people are not responsible for at that certain age, which then as an adult exemplifies itself as not caring so much about maybe other people's needs because you took a lot. I took care of a lot of other people's needs early on. And now that I'm an adult and I have my judgment to choose if I want to do it, it seems like subconsciously I choose not to. So sometimes I can come off as cold. I can come off as not being so in tune with my feelings, with my emotions. It also pertains to, I immigrated here from Peru, from South America. I went to a brand new school, not knowing the language. And there's a lot of difficulties that I went there that I'm grateful for now. But it's very important to know that these can manifest later on in a romantic relationship as maybe not being so in tune with feelings, emotions, things that are, I couldn't say it any other way. Emotions is not something that you see me. I'm always like, I suppressed my emotions. I seem to be, you don't get to know if I'm fine or not. Potentially it looks like I'm always fine, and that's not necessarily always the truth. But since, again, when I was little or younger, I was put in positions where I had to assume a lot of responsibility. Now that I'm an adult, I don't get to show it because when I was little, I didn't have essentially a choice to show them. There was no time to play. It's time to get responsible. So that's in a nutshell what the avoidant attachment style is. Now, it has a lot of benefits as well. They have also led me to be very focused, be very stern, dedicated, sometimes workaholic, which is not that good. So it has its pros and cons, but having the awareness of what your attachment style is can help you in your romantic relationship because you're going to hear what Evelyn's is, and that awareness can lead to a lot of inner work that each person can do and not clash and have arguments about it that are unnecessary. So Evelyn, what is your attachment style?
Yeah, so my attachment style, based on the situations that I was in as well growing up and the lifestyle, you know, that my parents had, I'm more of the anxious attachment style, which in a nutshell sort of means that I need to be attached to some capacity in order for me to feel safe, for me to feel that I'm going to survive, because all of these sort of arise from the survival perspective. When we're very, very young, we are nonverbal for the first 18 months of our lives. So a lot of the things that we are learning are sort of in inference. We're sort of just like making sense of the world in the first couple 18 months of our life. And for the most part, for the first 8 years of our life, but the 18 months, we can't speak. So everything is done based on emotion, everything that's like the language we speak. Everything is based on, I need to eat, so I'm going to cry, right? I need to be held, so I'm going to yell if I need to. So if in to some capacity, if our caregivers were not attuned to what our needs were because of their own needs needing to be met, because of their own circumstances, which are all valid, by the way, things happen and cultural things happen and immigrations happen and life happens, right? So it is impossible, I would say, for somebody to not have certain things have happened in their childhood and in their lifespan. So in my particular case, the anxious attachment style occurs when a parent is a little bit anxious also themselves. They're not secure themselves, so they are not attuned to the child's needs, emotions. So therefore, the child is aware of that, becomes aware of that. And because of that, it becomes nervous and it knows that it needs to do certain things in order to receive the care or have their needs met. So I'm talking from the perspective of a child. Like I don't have vivid memories of what that was like, because I'm assuming that happened when I was 18 months old. But I do have memories of having anxiety, very young panic attacks, very young, to the point where it was like middle school. And it's like, why is she having panic attacks? That's very weird, right? It's certain things that were not common for the things that I was going through at the time that didn't need me to be going through something so stressful, right? So I definitely have always been a nail biter when I was a little kid. And so there are traces of me being very nervous, which have led me to believe, and also because of the relationship that I now have, and because our relationship has allowed us to also navigate through this style, I've learned that I am indeed an anxious attached person, that I need to be sort of validated by the human being that is in a relationship with me in order for me to feel like my feelings matter, like I am, like my self-worth is something that it matters as well. Like me being enough is something that is always in relation to the next person. Like, please make me feel like I exist. Like, am I here? Do you care about me? Do I matter? And that's something that is, to me, a little bit frustrating sometimes, because when you are navigating through the world and as you become an adult, you do have to be able to be self-sufficient. You know, it's not going to be realistic to always have another human being constantly reassuring me that I am enough, that yes, you're all these great things all the time. That's something that I need to have the capacity to securely give myself, right? Which the attachment style, that the goal is to have at least some sort of a secure attachment style that does allow an individual to feel comfortable in their own skin, to feel confident, self-esteem, to feel all these things in a positive manner where you're not stressed or where you're not like scared, because sometimes the avoidant style can be fearful, right? Like, I'm afraid of emotions, so like I'm going to shut down or not talk to somebody that is a little bit more emotional, which in this case would be me, right? A little bit more kind of like, I to add some examples, I especially in the beginning, now we're definitely in a better place, but I have always been more of needing validation. Like, do you care about me on a random Thursday afternoon? Like, hey, are you sure you love me? You know, and it can be a little bit off-putting for somebody who's like, what are you talking about? It's like, there is no need for you to ask me that. Especially if somebody is a little bit more avoidant, who's not constantly thinking of their emotions or how they feel about something or a person. That's not his comfort area. That's not something that he's necessarily top of mind. And for the anxious, it is. Like, for me, top of mind is, do people care about me? Am I enough for people to love me? Am I lovable? Am I enough overall? And for him, he knows that, because he's been fueling his own, as an avoidant, you sort of are self fueling, self-giving, all of these things. So he's comfortable and doesn't need me to validate our love, for example. Like, I don't have to continuously remind him that I love him. He's like, I'm fine. You know, like, what is
so,
going on?
Yeah, no, definitely. So essentially, the anxious attachment has a validation outside of them, mm-hmm. meaning mm-hmm. the world needs to validate. Can the world validate my self-worth?
I need feedback.
And then for me, I have it all inside. Yeah, it's all inside because I was placed in a position of responsibility early on, which then in a way co-signed or like solidified the fact that I am responsible and I have my own worth inside, but don't get to show it too much on the outside.
And also I want to add about the avoidant as well. The avoidant also becomes avoidant when, so for me, for example, as a child, I need my needs met. So I did anxious type of activities so that I can get the attentions to be met, whatever it was, whether it was people pleasing or making sure I was perfect all the time so that I can get the attention by my caregivers or whomever at the time that was a caring for me. The avoidant is the opposite. So the avoidant realizes, they first start there. They start doing the little tactics that the kids will do, like the tantrum or the I'm going to cry, right? Which is what children do. Eventually, the avoidant, what occurs in the avoidant is that they go through all those motions, but nobody comes. So then what happens is they realize that they have to fulfill their own needs, and therefore they have to fulfill their own emotions and desires or whatever it is in the need meeting realm. They realize that they have to do it or else nobody else will. Right. So that's the avoidance kind of like mantra or way of viewing the world, is that if I don't do it, I'm not gonna wait for anybody else to do it. I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna take charge. I'm the one that will take care of it because I have proof in my subconscious, because this is subconscious. We don't have to have actual memories of this. The subconscious has the proof. That's kind of how this works.
And one big thing.
And it'll just be that way.
Yes. And the one big thing about that I think is worth mentioning is that all these things, like you mentioned, happened in our early months. We're talking about 0 to 18 months in early childhood. I believe research shows actually that a baby, a newborn, will need the parent's attention around 70 to 80 times an hour. So the point of this, the reason why I'm saying this is because we do not want anyone to go after their parents and go ask for receipts and complain and yell at them. This is very difficult for them. And again, they probably had an attachment styles given by their parents that they now projected onto us. The point of this is not to go crucify somebody, to go blame anybody else. This is to have awareness about the attachment style that we may have so that we can do the inner work. Because as nature puts it, an anxious attachment style attracts an avoidant attachment style because they're polar opposites, and polar opposites do attract. Now, in a bad scenario with no awareness, someone avoidant like me can manipulate the anxious style
or harm them.
Know that they need a lot of validation, and I can give it to them or suppress it, so get to gain control. That's manipulative, and it's not okay. That is not what I do. The point, what we work on, what we love to do about these attachment styles is, now that I know what my areas are that are that she needs and I may not give, work on those. I have to get in tune with my emotions. Watch, I don't know, Titanic, if she wants to watch Titanic 50 times, we'll do that together. Dance, it's a good thing. It's very in your emotions, like merengue, tough one, but I'm willing to do it. I have that willingness to meet her halfway there, and she can meet me in a place where we both become, what is the name of it? For the
secure
attachment, which is what we all ideally want. So the point of this chapter, this episode, is to raise that awareness, not to go after your parents and start yelling at them because they did all they could with what they knew.
And also not to identify with the actual attachment style, because that could be a thing that we do as well. It's like, okay, well, then I'm anxious, so then you should definitely do all the things because you already know I'm anxious. And it's like, no,
an identity, right?
When I learned about this in specific, and I have a great mentor who was also a teacher of mine, Miss Kelly Armitage, who is like an expert in this field. A big part of that was also very much understanding that because I am an anxious style, for example, I need to fill. There's certain gaps that I need to make sure that I'm fueling and that I'm filling for myself, for me to feel secure within, because there's no amount of things that he can do that's going to actually make me feel secure within from the core. He can help me, and he does, and he does great things. And we'll talk about the things that we do together to help this type of attachment styles that we both navigate through. But a lot of it had to, a lot of the accountability had to be within myself. Like, okay, I have this. What does this mean? Okay, so self-esteem seems to be something that I battle with. So what are the things that I'm going to do to make sure that self-esteem is not something that I battle with? Right. So again, just because, and just like you mentioned, this is never to sacrifice, to go and criticize or crucify, not sacrifice, crucify our parents or criticize them either. It is, both things are true, right? Like, these things did happen, but they also did their best. Both things can be true and can be present on the table. However, most of our parents don't they're so in a different stage in their life that talking to them about this may or may not be beneficial to anybody. So why are you going to even, you know, open up a can of worms? This is about you getting better. This is about you becoming a better version so that you can have a secure relationship, so that you can feel at peace with the person that you are in a relationship with, if you so choose to be in a relationship, or if you are choosing to become a parent yourself. So that you can ensure that when you are attaching, you know, for the first 18 months with this child, that you are aware of your own attachment style, because then these things become very, very present when you are in a relationship. That's mm-hmm. actually when it occurs. Yeah. Like, I am a perfect example. When I'm not in a relationship, for example, I tend to appear very secure. Like, I'm very like, ooh, not anxious at all and no stress at all. And when I'm in a relationship, that's when the anxiety is just very present. It's always there, and it's got nothing to do with the person itself. It's got everything to do with my co-regulating attachment style that I've developed subconsciously in the first 18 months of my life. So again, whose responsibility is it to make sure that I'm developing a secure attachment style while I'm in a relationship? It's mine, right? It's my responsibility to ensure that I try to do the best to make myself feel calm, secure. For me, it's meditation. For me, it's huge to do, like, to live a very slow paced things, to take my time, because of an anxious person usually runs on high adrenaline or fight or flight or cortisol, or these things are just always just kind of like, hey, here I am, a habit that you have. So for me, it's very important. I have my little journaling practice that I just like been taking a little bit more seriously as of late in the morning, trying to get some thoughts out, making sure that I have my little tea. You know, tea is very calming for me. I need it. That's a practice that he knows that I stick by. Little things like now becoming a little bit more mindful with self-esteem for me was like going to the gym, right? Those are things that I'm holding myself accountable to, because it does, going to the gym or holding yourself to something consistent does boost your self-esteem. So that's something that not only is it going to be self-esteem for my physical reality, but also self-esteem internally, because every time I go to the gym and do another day, it's something I'm like proud of. So then that in turn boosts a little bit of my self-esteem there, and then I feel good about myself, and then it's like cool. Sticking to projects, like I'm recently taking courses for something and being excited, being consistent, like those things are some of the things that I was notorious for being very just like, nah, I'm just not gonna do it, you know, because anxious and just whatever. And that was actually working against my self-esteem, as opposed to sticking to things, being consistent, doing whatever it is that I need to do so that I feel good about myself, so that I in turn can have a little bit more of security within, so that when I am in this relationship with him, we can, when we do have disagreements or whatever they may be, they're not going to be linked to my self-esteem. Yeah. Yeah. If that makes sense.
And so now that you have mentioned some of the things that about the anxiety, the anxious attachment style, there's one thing that I believe is worth mentioning, which is how do we relate to each other? How do we treat each other best? What are the things that are the best practices, if you will, between the anxious attachment style and the avoidant attachment style? So one way I believe for the avoidant is to be given options, right? Like whenever there is anything that you like to do, it could be something such as dinner. It could be anything about going to a specific place that you want. If I have an option to say yes or no, would you like to go there, or things of that nature, as opposed to it's been booked and you have to go. Now, the reason for that is because it tracks back to my childhood where I didn't have a choice about what I wanted to do. I just had to do it. So now that I'm an adult and I have my prefrontal cortex developed, I don't like to not be given choices, right? Essentially because of my attachment style. So that's one thing that's recommended, the research. And what was the best way to
relate to me?
To relate to the anxious from the
boy. Quiz. You should know this. But he does know this. He does a great job. So basically it's repairing. So it's the repair part for the anxious that's very important, which he does a fantastic job also because he's an avoidant. Oh, yes. Sometimes where if we have like a disagreement, for example, disagreements to him, it's like, I don't like this. This is uncomfortable. Again, I'm not given the choice. So therefore I'm going to not talk to you right now. And it's like, I'm anxious. So I need to be talked to, you know, I need to be sure. My biggest fear is like, oh, he's going to leave. That's just a subconscious thing for me. And for him, it's kind of like, I'm going to leave because I don't like it. So it's super funny. It's a very interesting polarity. Well,
not literally going to leave.
No, but that's like... just the subconscious fear, right? Yeah. Of like, not necessarily leaving. Obviously, he's here. But let's say if we have a disagreement, the chances of him needing space in that moment are very high. Like he might be like, I'm going to go sit over there and like, I'm not going to talk to you for right now. But it's, again, for me, in the past, if he doesn't tell me that, right, or he does a great job and we know that this is our style, so we know how the dynamic works. But in the past, if we weren't aware, he could literally walk out the door, get in the car and leave and not come for a week. And then the whole time, this has never happened, but I'm just using a hypothetical example. But then the whole time, me as an anxious, that's like the worst thing you can do for me. It's like, I am dying because my person is leaving and abandoning me. So then that's just the subconscious thing. So now when we have disagreements, which is great, I know that he needs space. I know this already. Like if we have a disagreement, which, you know, they happen, we're two people with opinions and ideas. So if it does, and sometimes he just needs time. And I know that if I give him some time, and he usually has his own time to reflect, again, make his own decision, right, about what it is the disagreement is about, I know that even though I'm anxious in that moment, I know that he's going to come repair because that's something that he does very well and because it's something that an avoidant actually is encouraged to do. That after he or she has just some time to think, when they're ready, they can come and talk to the anxious person and be like, hey, let's talk about it. And that's usually what happens. So it's like, okay, we're having a disagreement right now. And I know that right now, because in the heat of the moment, we just go in, there is just going to be anxious versus avoidance, like just going at it and it's not going to go nowhere. So usually, and this is actually something that happens, usually I go and I do something else, you know, in that moment. And he usually does something else for a little bit. And then he usually does a fantastic job at making me feel secure and saying, hey, let's talk about it. Can we talk about
it? Yeah, I'll go. That's something that is more on the, like, more on the balance side, like, about me. I don't like to be not talking for, like, no. And I've experienced that before, by the way. And it really doesn't solve anything. But that reminded me of another great tip for the anxious attachment style, which is when she has something that she brings up about that is up for opinion or criticism or validation. Yeah. Instead of me answering the validation aspect of it or validate it for her, it's good for me to switch it back for her and ask her, what do you think? How do you feel? And then shift it back to her, to the anxious attachment style person. And then so that they can not shift the validation outside, even though it could be good or bad. I'll still give my opinion, of course. I'm not going to take that away. But always get into practice of having them self-validate, do their self-worth.
And being okay with it, because it's not from like an egotistical standpoint. Some people think that when somebody is like, oh, praising themselves, okay, for somebody who's anxious, it's very important that we get in the habit and practice of like, hey, I did a good job. And like being okay with like saying that. It was almost even awkward saying it now, but it's like, it's okay for me to do that. Like the I am enough mantra is huge for me as somebody who with affirmations, for example. I am enough was one that was like huge for me because it was something that I struggled with, this like enoughness. And again, it comes within. It's something that I need to strengthen. It's my own muscle that I need to strengthen. It's my own cup that I need to fill. He does a fantastic job at like doing his part. He's not overly validating either because he's not supposed to, because that's just going to give me a crutch, right? Like, hey, please make sure to do this for me. Like, no, he does a great job. Where it's due, he does give me the credit when he needs to, and he does it on his own, right? It's his choice to do that. But again, I cannot force him to do that because he needs choices. I cannot force him to tell me to please. I cannot do that. And I would not want to do that. Also on my end, I don't like doing that. So it actually works.
I want to make sure I mention this. So yeah, that she's done a great job of getting me in my emotions,
yeah,
in my feelings. You know? By the way, this is also very important to mention. The avoidance style is more popular and common in men, and the anxious style is more common in women. So boys, of course, you know this. You've been brought up like, hey, don't show anything, man. You can't like suppress, show anything, suppress it. You're a man, right? Those things are good. They'll get you far, but they're not human. It's not entirely realistic. We have emotions. It's very important to be in touch with them at a right time and place. It's not a right. Yeah. We have to discern when we're going to use our emotion and when not to. Why? For children, first of all, romantic relationships require being in your emotions, and children need that. So if I vulnerability, showing emotion, showing sometimes that like not everything's okay and I'm made out of stone.
Yeah.
Because especially with children, you will project that onto them, and now you will continue this whole trail or chain of attachment styles. So the purpose of this is to enlighten you, to let you bring awareness to you and your current relationship, whether it be with your parents. I would argue that at work, this also plays a part, whether it be the management or even coworkers themselves, understanding the attachment styles, because they're all emotionally connected, even at work. It doesn't have to be entirely romantic.
Dealing with any human, really.
I think anything like that. And so
that occurs. So it's something that we have to just be mindful of when we're relating to any human, really. But it so happens to become very apparent and obvious when it comes to a significant other. It's just, it's magnified because there's this love, right? This thing, this vulnerability, this care that we are holding each other accountable for. I want to say that ever since we've become very aware of these things, and obviously we're constantly kind of doing these things and kind of striving to be these like best versions of ourselves type of thing, that it does make, for me as an anxious, it makes me feel so much safer and comfortable to the point where I'm like not really needing it, you know, but he still gives me the validation and it's great. I know if we get into a disagreement, I'm totally okay with it, you know, where it's like, oh, it's fine. I know that we're going to be fine. And
like,
then in the beginning, be like, I am not going anywhere. Yeah, and so it was really interesting because this is before we even had like,
studied this topic. And I think it's very,
so it's just like intuitive.
It's very important to know this because I know that not knowing this is going to cause so many problems in our lives. So that's
just
why we
misunderstanding.
Thought, yeah, it's worth mentioning. It's worth to get on here and be vulnerable with you and share our style. Understand
I'm not perfect. No, I'm opposite. I like to always tell people that like, no, I actually don't believe in perfection at all, which has like freed me from so many things, but it's that reality. It's like, this is what it is. So when you see us, now you know.
And
but that's the goal. The goal we're both striving to be secure, right?
We're human. We're just I'm just a man and this is just a woman, just like just everybody watching. But understand that knowing this, having this awareness can also lead you to know who may be in a manipulative relationship with you, where like they are capitalizing on your anxiety, or can someone be, I'm not sure how it works the other way around, that you could be manipulated.
Both can be manipulated.
Yeah, both. Both are.
So. Because there's ways for me to, if I wanted to, I guess, manipulate you to like, you know, give me something, you know, because I need
to be validated. And since I have to take care of it, you know, I'll do it because I've been taking care of things.
And the society, there's things that can be put into place that are not, this is why it's very, very important. And we're all, no matter what attachment style you're doing, or even if you, besides attachment style, is to ensure the security within. Always try to strive for that. Ask yourself the questions. What are the things that make me feel anxious, uncomfortable, fearful, and try to work on those things within yourself, because at the end of the day, those are the triggers. Those are the things that come up in relationships. And if you haven't addressed your self-esteem, for example, or emotion, vulnerability, right, then it could be something that can be difficult to battle. But overall, the goal, and again, as you mentioned for the video as well, is to just make people aware, know that this is real, know that the more you become aware of it, the healthier your relationship.
Yeah, and spread this to somebody that may benefit from this. And just a quick recap, anxious attachment style seeks validation from the outside, which attracts, funny enough, an avoidance style like me, which doesn't show any emotion, can be a bit despondent and like distant with emotions. Now, the key here is for me to get in touch with the avoidance style, to get in touch with his or her emotions and be vulnerable, to meet the and also for the from the anxious anxiety attachment style is to be self-validated without the need of any outside force and help each other meet somewhere in the middle and then become a regular sort of what's
comfortable,
it called?
Comfortable, secure.
Yeah, the secure attachment style, which is the happy medium. So there you have it, guys and gals. We thought it was worth it, way worth it to mention this. Let us know if anything resonates with you or if you know if any of these details resonate with you in terms of attachment style. Leave a comment as well, and we'll see you in the next episode.